This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be together in this time of worship, and it's my joy to welcome you into this hour together. If you're joining us online, we're so glad that you're with us, and you can take a moment to let us know that you're with us by using the link that's in the chat and place that in your browser to register. And if you're here in the sanctuary, I would love for you to register your attendance on the registration pads that are on the end of each row. If you'll sign in and pass it down the row and pay attention to the names of the others sitting on the row with you, and there's an opportunity to make a new friend this morning. Just a few announcements as we gather today. We had a little bit of a snafu with the bulletin inserts, so there's not an insert in your bulletin this morning. We were going to be singing a closing hymn that was printed on the insert, but instead of that, we will sing as our closing hymn today, "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy," and it's on page 121, and I'll re-announce that right before we sing it. Included in that insert were a few announcements that I wanted to highlight. We're still registering children and youth for choirs this fall, and you can go on the website and find all of this information. There's still registration open for our all-church retreat. The deadline for registering is September 1st, so we hope that you'll register for that wonderful event in the middle of September. And then if you haven't yet filled out our Wednesday night survey, we hope that you'll take a few minutes to do that, and that is also something you can find on our website. At the 11 o'clock service, I'll be able to introduce in person our newest staff member, but I wanted to celebrate that Reverend Amy Baxter is coming onto our staff and the Wesley Foundation at Vanderbilt. She will be working three-quarter time at Vanderbilt Wesley Foundation and one-quarter time here at West End with young adults, and we are thrilled with her gifts and her energy and are excited to see what God does through her and through that ministry in the upcoming months and years. We're continuing our journey through the Bible today, and I would encourage any of you who would like to join me tonight from 5 to 7 down in McWhorter Hall. We're going to have another large gathering to talk about the scriptures that we've read through the summer. We'll be making our way through the wisdom books and the prophets, and everybody's welcome. It's a potluck, so feel free to bring a dish and come and join in the fun tonight. This morning, we are listening to the prophet Jonah and seeing what his story might have to teach all of us as we seek to follow Christ in our world. Let us worship together.
call to worship as is found in your bulletin. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. O God, may we be willing to listen diligently to you. Give us courage to accept your call. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of mercy, we trust in your unconditional love for all creation. Forgive us for the ways we have created a love with conditions, allowing status to overtake your steadfast love. Forgive us for the moments we have failed to lead with love, allowing our disagreements to determine our treatment of each other. Forgive us for the times we have grown angry to your call, allowing our discomfort to overshadow your love for humanity. Like the people of Nineveh, may we be more willing to acknowledge our wrongdoings and turn to you for guidance and healing. Open our hearts and minds to the wonders of your mercy. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Join with me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Jonah 3:1-4:5, the conversion of Nineveh. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock, shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind, He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. And now, oh Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to have a few minutes with the children. So if you're here in the sanctuary, come join me up here. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll take a few minutes together talk about this wonderful story about Jonah. Come on up. Welcome, welcome. Look at everybody. Wow, what a big group we have today. I'm glad to see all of you. Come on up. Have a seat. Take a load off your feet. Well, Miss Mary just read a really important story in the Bible about a man named Jonah. You may have heard the story of Jonah. If you go back to sit with parents after this, maybe you can get the children's Bible in your pew and look and see if it's in there. Yeah, oh good, good for you. You were ahead of everybody. Well, one of the fun things about the story of Jonah is that it's got lots of animals in it. There's a part of the story where Jonah falls into the sea and a big fish comes and swallows him up, not to hurt him, but to help him and save him. And Jonah stays in the belly of the fish for 3 days, and the fish keeps him safe. And then he spits him back up on the shore so that God can send Jonah to the people of Nineveh. And Jonah gives a message to the people of Nineveh. They had been behaving in ways that God didn't like. But they listened to Jonah, and they changed the way they were acting. And it even included all the animals. The people said, all of the people and all of the animals are going to turn back to God. And there's something about this story that just reminds me that animals and plants are all part of our story, too. And that God wants us to take good care of animals and plants to remind us of God's good creation. And God's given us that responsibility. So at your house, maybe you can help water the plants. And if you take a minute to say a prayer and thank God for the plants. Or if you have an animal and you want to help feed the animal and love and pet the animal, you can do that too. Or maybe you could put out a bird feeder and help feed some of God's birds. She has cows. You're going to milk cows? Oh, my goodness, that sounds like so much fun. Well, let's thank God for cows and dogs and cats and trees and birds. Let's pray.
We are animals.
We are. That's true. Gracious God, we thank you so much for all the animals. We thank you for plants and rivers and streams and stars and the sun and all of your amazing creation. Help us remember that we're part of your creation and you want us to help take care of it. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you all so much for all that you do to care for animals, plants, and each other. If 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Shannon and Pastor Maggie.
My mom told me to go to Willard.
The story of Jonah is one of those stories that translates well to children's stories. I remember when I was growing up in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, I was part of the Asbury Choir at my church where I grew up. And usually in the summer, we would do some sort of musical. And the one I remember the best was about the story of the prodigal son. It was called Barbecue for Ben. We'll have a barbecue for Ben. Amen, amen, amen. Anybody ever do that one, Barbecue for Ben? No, crickets. Well, we also did one about Jonah, and I remember the song, Hey, Old Jonah, you should have obeyed the Lord. Anybody know this one? Hey, Old Jonah, you can't run away from the Lord. And we loved it as kids. It was a wonderful story. There's a big fish that swallows Jonah. There are animals and all of these things that I was sharing with the children. And yet, Jonah's a tough story as well. The second half of the story, the ending of the story, is not really a happy one. It leaves us hanging a bit. In case you haven't read the story of Jonah, or you didn't sing it in the fifth grade, or it's been a while since you've heard the story, let me walk us through really quick. It's a short story, a quick read. It starts off with God calling Jonah to go and preach to the city of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was not part of Israel. It was not a Hebrew city. In fact, Nineveh was often seen as the enemy. Some of the other prophets speak angry words, words of judgment about Nineveh, and even one prophet rejoices when Nineveh is destroyed, but not in Jonah. God wants to send Jonah to Nineveh. Jonah does not want to go. We don't find out why till the end. We'll get there. But instead of doing what God says, Jonah takes a ship going in the opposite direction. So God creates a storm on the sea. Jonah says to the sailors, it's my fault, throw me overboard, and the storms will end. And to the sailors' credit, they don't want to do that at first. But eventually they do. And that's when the big fish comes and swallows Jonah and keeps him safe for 3 days. And then spits him back up on the shore, and we pick up where Mary started the reading. The word of the Lord came a second time to Jonah. Let's start this over. Act 2. Go to Nineveh, says God, and tell the people what I tell you to say. So Jonah goes this time, wisely. What's interesting, another interesting thing about the book of Jonah, as opposed to the other prophets, most of the other prophets in the Old Testament, what we get are their words. We get pages and pages of their oracles and their words, the word of the Lord. But not in Jonah. In the book of Jonah, it's really a story about the prophet. We only get one sentence of prophecy. 40 more days and the city of Nineveh will be overturned. That's it. And I almost picture Jonah saying, 40 more days and the city of Nineveh will be overturned, hoping the people wouldn't hear him, but they did. The whole city repents. They turn back to God. In some ways, the city is overturned. It's overturned in repentance, turning back to God from the king all the way to the cows. The king declares a fast, including all of the animals. He clothes himself in sackcloth and ashes and prays that God would relent from punishing. And God does. And it would be wonderful if that was where the story ended. That would be the perfect children's story. But it doesn't end there. Because Jonah is angry. Jonah is resentful. Jonah is upset that the word of the Lord that he proclaimed to the Ninevites actually turned their hearts around. And so he walks outside the city gates, and he sits down, and he pouts. And he watches the city to see what God will do. God comes out to find Jonah and says, is it right for you to be angry? Are you angry that I would show mercy to these people? And Jonah says, and I love the way Mary read it for us. It was so well done. Jonah says, see, this is why I didn't want to obey your command to come to Nineveh, I knew you to be a merciful God, abounding in steadfast love, slow to anger. I knew your merciful nature, God, and I didn't want you to show mercy to those people. And so God leaves the question open. Is it right for you to be angry? Don't you think you might have compassion on the people as I do? As we've been going through the Bible, I've talked about different themes that we'll come across again and again. And this is one of those themes that we see repeatedly in the scriptures. That there are times when we as human beings don't want God to be as merciful as God seems to be. I think about the ministry of Jesus and how the Pharisees and scribes would whisper behind their backs, he hangs out with tax collectors and sinners. Look, he's eating with prostitutes and sinners. They didn't want Jesus to show kindness and mercy to those people. We see it in the early church when the Holy Spirit was being poured out on Gentiles, not just Jewish Christians. And there were some coming from the Jewish tradition who thought, this isn't right. We need to make these Gentiles follow our rules. Why would God show them mercy as well? And we see it most clearly, I think, in one of Jesus' parables. Barbecue for Ben, the parable of the prodigal son. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger one asked his father for his inheritance, and he leaves home, and he goes, and he spends it all in profligate living, while the older brother stays home and works hard for his father. And then the day comes when that younger brother comes home. He turns around. He repents. And his father runs out to meet him and throws a robe on him and his arms around him. He greets him with steadfast love and overwhelming mercy. And the older brother is angry. And he stands outside on the porch while the barbecue for Ben is going on in the house. And just as God came out to talk to Jonah, to see if Jonah might warm his heart to the people of Nineveh, the father goes out to the older brother to see if he might warm his heart to his younger brother. Your brother was dead and is alive again. Can you not rejoice with me? And in both stories, the ending is left open. The father, or God in the story of Jonah, issues the invitation and leaves the door open. But we don't know how Jonah responds, and we don't know how the older brother responds. So I read the story of Jonah and the parable of the prodigal son and all of these other examples in the scriptures, and I have to ask myself, who are my Ninevites? Did you hear what Jonah said? He said to God, basically, kill me now. I would rather die than live. And if I fill in that blank, I hear, I would rather die than live in a world with forgiven Ninevites. Who are my Ninevites? Is there someone or some group or some people that I feel like I don't want God to show mercy to, that I'd much rather sit back on the edge with my bowl of popcorn and watch God judge them and smite them? And yet we have a God revealed in Scripture, Old and New Testament, who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and mercy. I don't know if any of you know Andrew Callis. He's on our staff and does administrative work in the areas of worship and some other areas. And bless his heart, I sent him an email on Tuesday with my sermon title, which is the one that's printed in the bulletin. And then on Thursday, I emailed him and said, wait, I want to change the sermon title to The Pouting Prophet. It was so catchy and funny. And I think of Jonah sitting out there pouting. But then by the end of the day on Thursday, after more prayer and thought, I realized, no, I want to go back to this original sermon title. Because I don't want this sermon to focus on our limitations as humans, on the many ways that we want to draw limits on God's grace. What I want to lift up and celebrate is the steadfast, unbounding mercy and love of God that we don't get to manage, that we are not the gatekeepers of. And to hear this invitation of a loving God whose mercy and love is beyond measure, that changes the economy of our lives, that changes the household we live in. And to invite us all to be drawn into that mercy, to recognize that it is for you and it is for me. There's no end to God's love and mercy for you and me. And the invitation is to join God in the joyful work of sharing that good news with everybody and to be part of the world that God is building, because God loves Nineveh unconditionally.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, might we turn toward life and stand and affirm what we truly believe to be about this merciful God. We're citing together the affirmation of faith, the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God, and we are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, and life and death and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, it is always a privilege of ours to pray with you, and it's the call of our church to be a community of care for one another. If you would like to submit a prayer request and you're worshiping with us online, you can go to the Contact Us tab on our website, and if you're praying with us in worship today, you'll see a gray card in the pew before you, and you can drop it in the offering plate later in our time of worship. As you can see, friends, we've got four roses on the altar. We are celebrating the gift of new life in this place and in our home. And we celebrate especially with these families. We celebrate with Christopher James Smiley Jr., who was born on July 11th to Taylor and Chris Smiley. We celebrate the birth of Anna Frances von Lunen, who was born on July 21st to Carolyn and Matt von Lunen. She's welcomed also by her sister, Ruthie von Lunen, grandparents Laura and Rob Riley, aunt and uncle Lindsay and Robert Riley, and cousins Sally Ann, Carolyn, and Laura Lee Riley. We celebrate the birth of Rainey Jean Schoen, who was born on July 4th to Eric and Allie Schoen. She's welcomed also by her grandparents, Nancy and Skipper Phipps, and aunt and uncle Alicia and Rob Phipps. Finally, we celebrate the birth of Bennett Michael Wolf, who was born on July 25th, to Dale and Liz Wolf, and he is welcomed also by his big sister Emma Wolf and grandparents Scott and Ellen Wolf. Looks like we have many baptisms to come in our common life together. Even as we celebrate the birth of new life in our community, we also recognize those who are mourning today, lifting up especially Julie, Daniel, and Corny Parker as they mourn the death of Julie's mother, Gail Martin Watson, who passed away on July 20th. Services were held for Gail on Saturday in Franklin. Friends, as we turn our time to pray together, I invite you to pray with me by responding to the petition, Lord, in your mercy, with a response, hear our prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, to know you is to know a God whose mercy blesses all creation. Your compassion is without bounds or borders as you desire all to be swept up and the wholeness and healing of your love. This day, O God, we pray that you would transform our hearts into the heart of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who befriends sinners, loves his enemies, and prays for those who persecute him. When our hearts are hardened toward others, might they be softened to see your face and the face of those we disagree with or even despise. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. When our hearts are poisoned with bitterness or resentment, might they be healed by grace to forgive and be forgiven. Lord, in your mercy. When our hearts are closed to the stranger, might they be opened to the surprise of discovering Christ in the unexpected one. Lord, in your mercy. We pray these blessings for our life together, even as we pray for the transformations of the hearts of those who are actively persecuting your body in the world, for the hearts of all people in power who are destroying human life and creation through the machinations of war. Lord, in your mercy. For the hearts of those so consumed with love of money that they dispose of people and disregard the common flourishing of all. Lord, in your mercy. For the hearts of those who persecute your church across the world, and for all whose hearts are hardened by sin, turn them toward life today, as you did in Nineveh so long ago. Lord, in your mercy. These petitions and those spoken in our hearts we offer to you as we pray the prayer that Christ is teaching us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us now offer our gifts to God and collect them. The offering plates will be passed through your pews. Again, that's a space where you can leave a prayer concern. And if you are worshiping with us online, you can see the opportunity to give now listed on your screen. Let us now give generously in response to this God whose love is abundant and generous in all ways.
Let us remain standing and join in our closing hymn, "There is a Wideness in God's Mercy," found on page 121 in your red hymnals. For the love of God is broader than the measure of our mind. Isn't that good news? Let us go to share it and live it in Christ's peace.